Tonight I'd like to dispel a notion that you have from elementary school and that I had from elementary school based on Rashi and Chumash about Harkava, about grafting. We all know there's an issur to graft two trees one to the other. The Gemara here brings that it is a hekish from mating two different animals to grafting two trees. Now, if you grew up like I grew up, the way I was taught is you take a branch from one tree and you put it onto the other branch, and presto, it grows a mixed fruit. So you take an esrog, you put it on a lemon. That's the way everybody learns. So it's fascinating that over the generations there have been tumults because people have actually gone to see it, and it's just not true. Not true at all. If you have the handout, there's a diagram on the bottom of the second side, and the diagram shows it's supposed to be a lemon tree and an esrog tree, where they took the root, the bottom half. They don't actually graft branches. Rashi always says grafting branches, which is possible. They usually graft trees. They take the trunk of the tree, and they put on a top of a different tree. So what really happens, the fact of the matter is, it says here, is you have the bottom half of the tree gives fruit, and top half of the tree gives fruit. It will not give a different fruit. The fruit is exactly the same fruit that it would have had it grown separately. When you graft things together, the fruit that comes out is exactly the same. And this has been a tumult.
Which tree?
Well, let's say you have a lemon tree, and you put on top an esrog branch. The esrog branch is going to grow esrogim, and the lemon branch is going to grow lemons. And it won't be, there's not going to be any difference, unlike what we all learned in elementary school. Now, I found out about this because I was in Rebelsky's office in camp, and I happened to pull out, he had a lot of interesting things there, and he pulled out a kuntris called Taras Esrogim. And it's a kuntris by a youth from Williamsburg who looked into it, and he said it's just, the fact is that it's just not, the Metzius is not the way we're teaching in elementary school, in high school, Mish Medrash. The facts of the matter are not that way. Now, the tumult is an old tumult. It happened numerous times. In the 1870s, the Badats in Yerushalayim got conflicting reports about it. And they sent, I'm reading to you from the Sefer, he brings a Kuntras Priyei Sada that was put out in 1878. And there it says that the Badats Ashkenazi Shev Yerushalayim sent Shloisha Rabbonim Mumchim V'Yireim Shenishlu Livdaik Es Matei, the planters in Yafo. There they planted things that were grafted. Trees that are exactly like in the diagram. And they could tell that it was. The im calls that perish a godlu al ilonis amarkavim. They were exactly identical. This was in the 1870s. Unless you think it's only in the 1870s, in the 1990s it happened again. There was a tumult, and they sent the Rabbi Yeshua Grois, Shlita, still alive, Admir Bekeristir, and Roach Be'enav, Be'esha Yared Al Sode, he saw in his own eyes, he saw that when you graft things, the thing grows exactly the same. There's a Rashi in Saita Mem Gimel who says this. Rashi in Saita Mem Gimel, Dimar Amasal Markiv, says when you put one tree with another, Lashon Rashi, Noisei Peiros, May Oisei Min Shenitl Mimenu. If you put a branch on a tree, it'll give fruits exactly like the min from which it came. That's what Rashi says. There's a Tshuvas HaSma, which is printed in the Tshuvas HaBach. HaSma wrote a letter to the Bach. And in Kuf Lamed Hey, he says, not true. He says, Rashi, it's not true. He didn't see trees that were grafted. He saw fruits that were grafted, and they're different. So it's just not true what Rashi says. And the Bach writes back that he saw with his own eyes, and it is true. He says, Rayim ben Metzias like Rashi. So we have to try to figure out. So this happened, or at least the tumult, in the time of the Sma. And in the 1870s and the late 1990s, and there was already earlier tumult in the time of the Alshech. In the Tshuvas Alshech, he writes that farmers came and said, Edis, the Ashuk was in Tzvas, came and said, Eidus, that if you graft it, the tree is identical. And it's a bit of an issue. But it's not done through grafting. I'm going to explain exactly how it works and where, I guess, the mistake came from and how you have Harkava. But this physical fact is the fact. Today, the world is small, and what goes on is easily Googleable, and not everything you Google is necessarily true, but today, there's no question that when you graft, it doesn't change the peri that grows from the grafted branch. Now, what does happen? Well, the idea that an Estrig Hamorkiv is possible doesn't say anywhere in Gemara. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say an Estrig Hamorkiv is possible. It's a tumul that's in the Poiskim in the later period. The Siman Debach are among those that argue. We have accepted by us that an Estrig Hamorkiv is possible, and that's Aloch Alamaisa. You should know there were great Poiskim. The Shari Ephraim, the Rafai Magali, you sell that it's kosher. There were those who held it's kosher. I want to explain. We're talking about the Yichus of the Esrig.
So the
Because we accept halacha l'maisa that Esrig is not allowed to be morkiv, and that's our halacha, that's our din. I want to tell you, if you cut open an Esrig, you will see that most Esrogim have a siman that they were morkiv somewhere along the line. I always buy Temini Esrig every year, besides I buy the Eretz Yisrael ones that are much nicer, a Temini Esrig, and I always show it, I did it in class once or twice, and I did it here in Shul. You cut open a Temini Esrig, it's the way it's described by the Rishayim. There's no pulp, zero pulp. It's white all the way through. The seeds are lined up the way it's described. And there's no pulp in it at all. The lemony smell doesn't exist. The Eretz Yisrael Dik Esrogim have some pulp. The Yanav Esrogim smell totally like lemons. They're full of pulp and totally like lemons. And there are those who are makbid only to use Yanav. Now, it doesn't mean they're posel or they're kosher. I want to describe to you the mitzias, and in the 10 minutes I'm not going to be able to explain the whole thing. I'm saying the mitzias, if you cut open, I do it a lot of times after sukkahs. I cut open 3 esrogim. We once took pictures. I have somewhere in my email, somebody, I did it in class, I cut open the 3, and someone took a picture of all 3. The esrogim, the temini esrogim have all the simanim. In Orchis Rabbeinu, it says the Chazon Ish told the stipler he should use a Temini Esrig, but he doesn't want to be Mefarsimit because he's going to ruin the business of all the Esrigim in Eretz Yisrael, which are also kosher. But the Temini is more Mehudah. That's what it says in Orchis Rabbeinu. He told him, and the Chazon Ish said he's not publicly going to do it because it'll ruin, which means he knows everything's kosher. So I'd like to explain to you the science of how it works. And where this whole Harkava mistake or not mistake comes from. Again, those of you who have the diagram, a typical flower, now not everything is the same, but a typical flower and an Esrig, if you go to watch it, it's fascinating to go to an Esrig farm in Eretz Yisrael. Esrogim are unlike any other fruit. Every other fruit, all the fruits are at the same stage of growth at the same time. When you go to an Esrig paradise, you'll see some budding, some first opening up, some half grown, some fully grown. The mitzias of an Esrig, Hador B'ilane Mishana Lashana, is that not all the Esrigim and that tree grow in the same pace. So you can have in the same tree at the same time different stages of Esrigim, which makes it much more informative to go to an Esrig farm. Now, the way typical fruits grow, you all know that a flower opens up, and this is when we make a bracha on the ilanos. And you go, you look at the flower, you look inside, you'll see two things. You'll see the center, what they call the oval and the pistil, P-I-S-T-I-L, that's called the female part. In other words, that's the part that, so to speak, becomes pregnant. Now, it won't grow into a fruit. Not every flower that opens does the bud grow into a fruit. The center is like the female part, just like a female has an ovum, which if it comes impregnated, it grows into a child. In the tree, the center has this area, what they call an ovule, which if it's impregnated, will become a fruit. Now, where does it become impregnated from? There are no male flowers flying around. The answer is there are. The little sticks that grow up all around, there are little sticks that grow up all around the center of the bud. Here you see it in the picture. They're called stamen. The stamen are little sticks that have pollen at the tip. That pollen is the male seed. Now what has to happen is some of that pollen has to fall into the ovule in a way that makes it pregnant, so to speak. When you talk about the birds and the bees, what happens is bees, they don't know what they're doing. The bees come to get nectar from the fruit. And when they're busy flapping their wings, they either shed some of the pollen directly onto that bud, or they fly from one to the other and they carry the pollen with them and they pollinate or impregnate the center of the bud, and then it grows. If you go this time of the year to the trees, I think there's a fruit tree across the street, I went, we made a bracha, and I showed the guys that were with me how some of the buds were going to grow to fruits. They already had color, and they were growing, and some were just like original buds that nothing happened. Now, you don't need bees. The wind could do it. It could come from the wind as well, that these things happen. The grafting caused a cross-pollinization, which means that when people took branches of, let's say, an estuary tree and put it onto a trunk and it has branches of lemon, what would happen is that some of the pollen from the lemon tree would go into the estuary tree and some of the pollen of the estuary tree would go into the lemon. And that would happen. Even if you have two farms across the street from each other, one is a lemon farm and one is an estuary farm, you're going to have cross-pollinization because of the bees and the wind, a certain amount of cross-pollinization. Now what happens, the fruit grows exactly the same. Oh, I shouldn't say exactly. I have only slight changes in the fruit itself. But the seeds of the new fruit are a combination of the seeds of the two fruits from which it came. So really what happens, let's say you want to get a nectarine. So you take, a nectarine is, I believe, a plum and a peach. So you take the pollen of one. And today, they don't use branches. Today they call it mitz, they call it juice. They take pollen juice and they put it into a bud of the other min. Not every min crossbreeds. It has to be similar. But they crossbreed it and then it grows. And the thing that grows the same as the bud, whatever the bud, the oval was. But its seeds are cross-pollinated and therefore the seeds will grow into the new fruit. And this is the Metzius HaDvarim of the way these things happen. When they put branches from one to the other, it ultimately caused other fruits to grow only because the seeds of the new fruits on the outside could look a little different, but the seeds can be of the cross-pollinized fruit. So what I'm telling you is not really a chiddush, it's a chiddush to people. There's an ongoing debate in science today, and there are studies that have come, one study in 2009 or 2014, the understanding was, until 2014, that you can never change the DNA makeup of anything. DNA was considered to be immutable, and it can never change, and you have DNAs, all your cells are going to reproduce exactly the same, and nothing could change. And today, there's question if somehow grafting could cause a change, which is a separate discussion. I don't understand it totally, but I've read the study by a Jewish guy, Stegman, who's an expert in it. What's Egel in Yoneinu is the following Shiloh. We know Harkova is Asa. The Ramban in Chumash says Harkova is Asa, the Tama Mitzah, brings new meaning into the world. That doesn't directly bring new minim, but it brings ultimately new minim. The earlier Svarim, right, it's Machlekes Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi in Saita says when you graft, the fruit is the same. And Ramban Chumash says it brings new minim. All right? It seems to be Machlekes. It's not a Machlekes. Rashi saying what grows directly from the grafting is the same. Rashi saw it with his own eyes. And Ramban is saying the Tama Mitzvah is because it brings new minim. Shaila is, Bzman Azeh. If you want to make new fruits, but you're not going to graft, you're not going to take trees and put them one to the other. All you're going to do is take the pollen, you have the, what you call mitz, they have the pollen juice, and all you're going to do is pour it or inject it into the buds of a tree, they're not grafting the tree at all. Is that mutter or is that asin? Obviously, it's a relatively new shaila. Chazanish already writes about using the pollen mitz, whether it's mutter or not. And the drosha of our Gemara is used. It seems at first glance to be very similar to Ramosha's Machlaikis with the Dayan Weiss and the Samar Rebbe regarding human. If you take human sperm and impregnate an egg in the lab, whether that child has a din mamzer. If you take sperm of a brother and you impregnate the seed of a sister or of an Eshes Ish, whether that has a din of a mamzer. So Moshe writes, it can't be a mamzer without a bia. He's just putting things in the lab together. It doesn't create a surim, which is, I think, pretty much mekubal, at least in the halachic world. You know, those who disagree. So those who argue the same thing should be true by pollen, where you use liquid in the lab and you mix it together, that it should be mutter. I'm not going to get into it by Richus, but the raya that Rishon Zalman brings out with Rasha in his tshuva says, Behemta choleis abia klayim, sod choleis sizra. He learns in the Gzeres HaKasuv, Behemtacha by animals, by humans also, but animals. If you do it in the lab, two things is no issux. The aver in the Torah is behemtacha. If you take two animals together, but sodcha leisizra klayim. Here it says sodcha. Sodcha means in your field you have something growing. You're not allowed to cause what grows to be klayim. That's the drasha he brings from our Gemara, and it's a tshuva in the second chelik of the Michel Shlomo. At any rate, I want to teach you a little bit of something that was a tremendous chiddush to me. And, I always like to think that everything I learned in elementary school was true, but apparently, at least one thing I learned, I'm sure in fourth grade they didn't teach this, but the other grades, if they taught it, it was not accurate. Yeah. So it's not all for one. Regalachas. What happened, it's not all regalachas. We'll talk about it once. Okay.